I'm speaking today with Peter Lynn Renee, who is running for Houston City Council in District F. Peter, why are you running for this office?
Well, the main reason I am running for this office is simply to provide clear, precise, and visible leadership to District F. As I've gone through the different neighborhoods and talking to various people, the neighborhood meeting, that is what they say more than anything else, is that they do not see their representative in the district. They do not see him at the meeting. They do not see him engaging them. So when you have a lack of visible leadership, that leads to other things in the district not getting done because there's no leadership. So one of the main things that I am going to do if elected to this office is to make sure that I am visible, I'm accessible, and I lead by example.
All right. You ran for office in 2008. You were the Democratic nominee for Justice of the Peace office out in West Harris County. What would you say you learned from that experience?
Well, that experience was wonderful. Of course, running for a smaller district seat versus the mammoth West Side, which is about over 300,000 citizens, is a totally different race. But the dynamics are the same. You have to pound the pavement. You have to engage in block walking, for example, going on weekends and after work, going to the various areas like perhaps the grocery stores to shake hands, to speak to people, to see how they're doing. And going through the whole electoral process really prepared me because, number one, it told me exactly how much money I needed to raise. It showed me how much money I did not need and how to effectively manage the money that I've been raising. It also gave me a very, very nice introduction into the electoral process because it can be overwhelming if you're not prepared or someone does not give you a quick lesson. Like, for example, all the various screenings, all the various organizations that will call you or even email you to fill out their questionnaire to come out and speak to them. And running the last time, it gave me the ability to see, okay, put everything on the table and see which ones can I realistically go to. All of them have merit. All of them deserve the attention. All of them deserve to have their questionnaires filled out. And they all deserve for us to appear before them. But as being one person, it's not realistic. So you have to really look and prioritize and see, okay, what can I realistically do in this race rather than I see a lot of candidates right now who are literally worn out because they're going all over the city to all the various forums, debates, and candidate screenings. So the running the first time really gave me, I bumped my head many times, made a lot of mistakes, not anything that was huge, but more procedural as far as how to fill out your paperwork, when to fill out your paperwork, when to send it in, what documents are required from by the state at a certain time, filing deadlines, all these wonderful things, if you're not told where to find them, then you spend a lot of time as a new candidate trying to find these things, and you end up sometimes frustrating yourself. So having run the first time, this time around is a lot smoother, and I learned a lot from the last time. I made a lot of good friends, a lot of my friends who are now on the bench or in office. I was able to talk to them, get their advice, their take on the race, and get really nice jewels and nuggets and wisdom from them as far as running for this race.
What do you see as the top priorities for the district?
The top priority for this district, of course, I've mentioned before, leadership. Now, if you do not have clear and precise leadership, then every other priority does not matter because there's no one there to lead the charge. So the first priority, of course, is to establish clear, precise leadership, visible leadership to make sure that all the constituents know who their representative is and know that representative on council is accessible to them. Secondly, another thing that I hear a lot from the district is just the sheer amount of pollution, the graffiti, and just parts of the district that has just been left to just fall apart. I had no problems going to the mayor's office, who that department that supplies you with the paint and the cleaning materials to clean up the graffiti. I have no problems rolling up my sleeves to get that, those materials and get rid of that graffiti that's plaguing some of the parts of the district. I have no problem getting the industrial garbage bags from the city, going in with volunteers, picking up the trash and litter that is just that has plagued again parts of the district, and to make sure that I coordinate with the department, the city department, so that trash can be picked up. A big thing, and it's not anything unique to our community center, it's a lot of the community centers throughout the city have suffered because of budget cuts. The Bailey's Community Center, a lot of their programs, if not most of them, have been slashed or cut out completely. One of the biggest crime deterrents is after-school programs, and most of the after-school programs at the community center were slashed. So once if elected, my plan is to reach out to our corporate partners and to our individual donors who would be willing to support a after-school program, who would be willing to give their time, resources, and money to help us get these after-school programs back. Now, it may not be on the same grade, it may not be on the same level, but we need to try to at least do something. If they can give us funding for 2 days out of the week, 3 days out of the week, that's a lot better than idle minds and idle bodies walking around the district getting into trouble. From an economic point of view, I think that there's a lot of room to grow economically in our area. Again, we have to work strategically, we have to work smart to keep attracting more businesses to relocate in the Ailey's area. Right now we have quite a few big corporations such as Halliburton. They're good corporate partners, and Ailey's is a very, very nice area. There's a lot of strip centers that are going up and or being renovated right now. And I think that if we put the right packages together, work with the International Center, with the Sister Neighborhood and other organizations, then we can make our Ailey's area a nice little mecca for business. I would like to see, for example, a nice big Starbucks, the Ailey's Starbucks. I'd love to see that. I would love to see work on a plan to bring the Ailey's Theater. It would be wonderful to have a theater in Ailey's because the nearest theater is some 3-4 miles away. That would be an absolute wonderful thing to be able to talk to the theater owners to see if they would be interested in bringing such a thing to Ailey's. Also, reaching out to our corporate partners. There are a lot of nonprofit organizations who are doing very good work. Some of them are trying to fill the gap left by the cuts by the city with the after-school programs. Some of them are trying to just be good citizens and help us with everything from trash to graffiti. But what they lack is the funding. And I do believe all the corporations in District F are giving, but they're not necessarily giving in District F, again, leadership. So what I plan to do is to definitely reach out to our corporate partners and see what they can do to help us with the nonprofit sector and help them with their programs as they try to do great things in the district. One of the big things that I hear from the constituents is that there are parts of the district that are just not very present to the eyes. So I'd love to start for that part of the district beautification, by which we go in, whether it's picking up the trash, getting rid of the graffiti, engaging our corporate partners to help us maybe do some painting. You know, the whole point of having these corporations located in there is for them to try to be good corporate partners and do great things in our district and not necessarily have those dollars go to other parts of the city. So, and then education. I mean, that is something that is dear to my heart. I think we have a very good school district. We've gotten very good marks from the state agency this year, but there's always room for improvement. So again, sitting down with the school board to see what we can do to improve some of the areas. As a mediator, I have mediated cases at the Dispute Resolution Center with truancy cases. So truancy is somewhat of a problem in the area, and what we've tried to do through the Dispute Resolution Center is to go to the school, talk to the students, see what the issue is, rather than have them appear before the Justice of the Peace. That is something I would love to expand into the Ailey School District to get a thing. Because sometimes a kid is just being truant, other times there are legitimate reasons why they are late or not at school. So in a nutshell, that is my vision for District F. I think that we are a very, very wonderful, diverse area. I want to represent everybody, not just one section. I want to represent everyone on council. I want to be a strong advocate on council for District F. When we're going through the CIP, the Capital Improvement Project, part of the agenda, I want to be a strong and a very loud voice to say, hey, you know, it's the District F. We want our fair share of the pie. We want, and not be as silent as our past representatives have been.
You talked some about the effects of the budget on District F, but of course the budget the council passed had effects all across the city. $100 million cut, 750 or so employees laid off. What is your assessment of the budget the council passed for this year?
Well, it was a very tough budget process. I listened to the majority of the council sessions as they deliberated through the budget process, and it is not something that was pleasant. It is not something that they wanted to do, but it was a necessity just because of the state of our economy. A lot of the cuts that were made, unfortunately, for example, the community centers. And so you saw a great example by our Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee by reaching out to the corporate sector to allow some of the swimming pools to be open a little bit longer than they would have been had it not been for the budget cuts. Right now, it's a tough time, and I know the mayor definitely struggled with the cuts that had to be made. I know the city council also struggled with it. And I don't know that there was anything different they could have done. I mean, the reality is it was what it was. And I think they did the best they could with what they had to work with.
Obviously, everybody hopes that the city's financial picture will improve in the near future. If it does, I mean, do you believe that the current level of services in this budget kind of represents the new normal, or do you believe that the priority should be to restore some services as the financial picture allows it?
Well, I'm a firm believer in being fiscally responsible. And right now, with the way the budget, with the cuts and all that, a lot of programs and services were cut, but we're still managing. Now, having said that, once we come back to a point where we're more economically growing again, I would say some of the services, such as the fire, the police, the medical, those may be able to be increased slightly or just by a good percentage, but not necessarily brought back to the levels they were before. Because the whole thing we're learning right now is that, you know, once we tightened our belts and we saw, well, hey, you know, our belts are tightened, but we're still able to provide basic service to the city, to our citizens, to our constituency. So I would not be, it's definitely a debate that we should have. It's definitely something that should be brought to the full council for a debate and a vote. But I would say that let's approach that cautiously and not necessarily just open up the purse strings and return back to the levels we were before, because after all, a lot of the cuts were identified through a process that showed waste in our various departments, waste that now has made us a little bit more aware, a little bit more fiscally responsible than we were before. So So, yes, so I definitely think it should, some of the services should be raised. I definitely would like us to return to funding the community centers because statistics do show that after-school programs at these community centers are crime deterrent. So I would definitely like to see education and after-school activities or activities in general that were happening at the community center, I'd like to see those services fully restored.
All right. There were two referenda on the city ballot last year that affected the city. First one is a Renew Houston, now known as Rebuild Houston. Did you vote for the Renew Houston proposition?
I did not vote for the Renew Houston proposition. On the premise, it was a good idea because it is something that our city definitely needed. We did need to address our sewage and our drainage and all those issues. The reason I did not particularly vote for it is the details which came out after it was passed, that I was looking for that level of detail to tell me exactly how much everyone would have to pay. And unfortunately, that came out too late. Now, having seen how the proportions and what everyone has to pay, it would have been something that would have given me a little bit more consideration. I can't say that I would have said, okay, yes, I would definitely have voted for it, but it would definitely give me a better idea instead of just a proposition that was very much vague and very light on detail.
Well, now that you know more about it, what's your assessment of it?
Well, now that it is quote unquote the law of the land, I think it is something that I can get behind. The numbers that came out on council as far as just drawing the percentages of how much each whether it's a school or a church or whatever would have to pay. And I'm glad the church got the exemption. Now that I look at it, it's something that I can support. As long as that fund that is building goes specifically for that. So that means if we get into lots of it, but if we have another downturn in the economy, I do not want to see us touching that money to shore up our revenue shortfalls. I want to make sure that money is safeguarded and it's there strictly for the Renew Houston initiative.
And the other proposition, of course, was the red light camera referendum. Did you vote to keep the red light cameras or to get rid of them?
I voted to get rid of it. I did not think that it was a very big deterrent to those running red lights. In my neighborhood on the southwest side, it is something that I saw on a regular basis, and I just got used to when the light turned green to look both ways before moving. The only thing that I would say in reference to that is that once it was voted down, it just took way too long and just way too much drama in finally getting them turned off. I think that, you know, the federal judge came in, made the ruling, they were turned back on, city council had to come back, deliberate, and I think that it was just too messy of a process as far as getting those things turned off. Secondly, I'm very sad that the city, it could possibly be on the hook for all those millions of dollars because of the way the contract was written. So I would have said to have that contract written in a way where the out clause would not be as detrimental and as damaging right now financially for us, because that is the big issue, is how much does this company deserve from the contract. I do believe that with better policing, we can nab a lot of these people running red lights. I know that a lot of the people that I spoke to in the district were not in favor of the red light cameras because they saw, like I did, that they were not much of a deterrent. And I hope that going forward, that perhaps we can reach a very very good agreement with the company to where the city is not on the hook for all those millions of dollars.
Okay. As you know, this past year, the city council redrew its boundaries under the terms of the new census. That included drawing two new council districts, which reshaped the way District F is. What's your assessment of the process the council used to redraw its boundaries?
Oh, I thought the process was very nice. It was very good. And I think the crowning jewel of the whole process was the town hall meetings that were held, by which so many citizens got direct input into the process. I think that was extremely valuable. I attended quite a few of them, some of which the mayor was in attendance, and of course several council members. And I really think that once that process was over, and the council deliberated whether private or during session, I think it really gave them enough information to draw those lines fairly, because as you can see, there was not a lot of negative or debates about the process on council. Everything went rather smoothly. There was no great dissension, and I think that going out and listening to the constituents, listening to the people, and listening to their opinions had a lot and weighed very, very heavily in ultimately passing the redistricting plan.
What is your assessment of Mayor Parker in her first term in office?
Mayor Parker, my hat's off to her. She came in less than great times, and she has had to make some extremely tough decisions. I think that she does an extremely good job of managing the city, managing our resources to the best she can, given the economic climate. And I believe that as we slowly get out of this economic downturn, I see her doing even greater things for the city. I give her very high marks. I don't think that that she's had any great missteps. I think that maybe a few bumps in the road, but nothing substantial that we can say that she's not doing a very good job. And she's doing a good job.
All right. And what would you like to see be her top priorities for the next 2 years?
Well, the top priority that I would like to see, again, is for us to work together to try and find some funding, if possible, for our community centers. Those community centers are very valuable to the community. And not only just the after-school programs, but there are many programs that come out of these, like senior programs, GED programs, and a lot of those programs, some are still going on, but a lot has to be cut. So I would definitely like to work with her to see if we cannot find the dollars, which more than likely we cannot find it in the budget, well, perhaps we can reach out together as a council to our corporate partners and see, hey, can you help us, even if it's not like a full 5 days, can you help us with 2 or 3 days worth of programming? So education is very important to me, and I love to see our kids excel, but I also like to see them staying out of trouble. So if I can do anything to help council and the mayor identify new sources of income, whether whether it's from the state level, the federal level, then that would be one of my hot priorities to help those community centers get back in shape.
And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to make you the next council member from District F?
Well, again, I am basically ready to roll up my sleeves. I'm ready to take the fight. I'm ready to lead. And that is what has been absent in the district for such a long time. What I keep hearing from the constituents, and this is, I've traveled all over the district, is a tale of the haves and the have-nots. And basically, a lot of the constituents just want a council member who is going to be visible and lead. Now, if you're not visible, then of course you cannot lead. Vote for me, because my priority is to make our district the best it can be. Work with the super neighborhood and the police substation. to reduce the crime in our area. Roll up our sleeves and partner with our nonprofit companies to beautify our district by getting rid of the trash, getting rid of the graffiti, you know, working with our corporate partners to see what kind of economic development we can do, such as, like I said, we're having a Starbucks, having a theater in our district, working again with our corporate partners to see what kind of programs they can bring to our community centers, to our seniors. I am very, very committed to seeing District F be a shining beacon of light in our city. We have all the tools, we have all the things necessary for us to be much better than we are not right now. Now we are very good, but there's always room for improvement, and we can move to that next level. And so I ask for those who want clear, precise leadership, those who want a strong advocate on city council, someone who's going to fight for you, someone who's going to be accessible, address your issues, come out to see you, come, and who knows, don't be surprised if your friendly neighborhood council member is knocking on your door asking to come in for a little cup of coffee. And that's why I say please vote for Peter Lynn Renee for District F in the upcoming election.
All right, Peter Lynn Renee, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.